When you do speak, please use I statements. Remember not to speak for others, not to make assumptions about others, whether they're the people who are sitting in your group right there or others outside in the world. Just speak from your own experience. Please don't have any personal attacks or insults. Cut ones. I hope we can all just do that really easily. We can disagree, but don't attack each other, insult each other. Please be conscious of your biases and privileges. We all have biases and privileges that we're bringing in. So just take a moment to, before you talk, think about speaking from a perspective that understands that you have those and your what you see is not the only way. Move up, move back. What that means is, some of us are really quick thinkers and we like to, you know, express ourselves verbally and we might be really quick to jump into conversations. Sometimes that's because of privileges that we've experienced and so we feel empowered to do that. So remember to move back a little bit and make the space for others. And then likewise, some of us are more introverted, more internal thinkers and, or, you know, might feel shy. For whatever reasons, if we're finding that we're kind of more in our head and not participating, I invite you to move forward and join the conversation with your speaking voice so that everyone can hear what you have to say and what you're thinking. Please practice cultural humility. This kind of is in the same vein of, again, we don't necessarily even realize our biases and our assumptions that we hold, that the air that we see actually has a tint to it based on our experience and our culture. And so don't assume that your culture is the norm, and don't assume that white culture is the norm, don't assume that male culture is the norm, don't assume academia culture or activist culture is the norm. Be open to there being other cultures that have just as much legitimacy. Agree to disagree. We don't have that much time, and you actually don't have to convince everyone to think exactly the same way you do, right? So sometimes we might just need to agree to disagree. And assume best intentions. We're all here because we care about this planet, because we care about humanity, because we care about making the world more democratic. So let's assume best intentions. Seek/affirm good points. So you don't necessarily need to repeat what somebody said if you think it's a good point. We're short on time, so we're asking everyone to be a little bit disciplined in that regard. But feel free to twinkle, to nod, to thumbs up when somebody's talking if you agree. And that way you don't have to restate what they already said if they've made a good point. Honor sacred rage. Trauma is something that happens every day in this corporate, capitalist, white supremacist, misogynist world that we live in, right? And so people are walking around holding, carrying the burden of trauma that they have experienced maybe just 5 minutes ago, but maybe, you know, from, you know, who knows. But there's a reason why anger is a really valid response to that, and there might need to be some emotion in the conversation, and we welcome that. We welcome people expressing emotion because this is an emotional issue, the fact that we don't actually have power and representation in our government and in our society. Feelings aren't facts. However, it is a fact that I feel it. So don't delegitimize people, again, if there are feelings involved. Stand up for someone else. If it feels like that's, if you can see that that would be helpful, if somebody is kind of getting isolated in the conversation, use your power to stand up for someone else. And please expect unfinished business, because we are not going to solve. We had 5 days. That's a big commitment, but we can't solve everything in 5 days. As Jessica said, there will be a report coming out, and this is, you know, one in a series of conferences that we've held, and we will be together again, and we can revisit this again. So don't just give yourself the relax to just relax, and don't feel like we have to solve everything today. And if it's unclear what the solution is, then that means we need some more time on it, and that time can be found at some later point. We will make sure. So that's what we've come up with. Is there anything that feels like is missing or is confusing that I said? Yeah.
Were we supposed to geolocate to the
conferences? Nope. No. What? I'm sorry?
Why?
Why were you not supposed to geolocate?
You don't want me to talk to people about the conference.
You can, but actually the groups are going to be random because this is sort of the one opportunity to really mix it up because some folks didn't. And so we're inviting that. So if you I'm going to count off for the small groups. So probably it's going to be random. This is not, we're actually intentionally moving out of the silos right now, I guess we'll say. Yes. Sure. Yeah, we'll put this on the Democracy Convention website. I keep telling everyone, Ben, when people ask for the handouts and stuff, that we'll put like handouts on the session descriptions. So we'll put this in some key place for the PMA so that you can borrow this. Or you can take a picture right now. Thanks. Yes, says the, I don't know, under 40, we'll say, person. Anyone else have any? Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you. So speak up. And also if you can't hear, please remind people to speak up. So let's get our needs met. Like Jessica said, when you need to take a break, take a break. Be empowered to do that. You don't have to ask permission. I saw one more hand. Okay. We'll do 1, 2 and then yeah.
So a few minutes ago, you said in response to things, feel free to twinkle or thumbs up. You demonstrate.
Yeah.
Everybody twinkle.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for your question. Don't I just twinkle all the time? Yeah. Right now we are being live streamed for this part altogether, and they're going to attempt to go to one of the groups. So yes, but you know, when we break out into groups, we won't get everybody. So, and also to, when we do break out in groups, so you will have a facilitator that we've assigned, but you will need a note taker in your group. So if you are a great note taker, be thinking about if you can offer that skill. We do not need any minute takers. Just note takers, so key points, not a verbatim record. Twinkling, nice. All right, try it out. Okay, looks everybody else good on the community agreements? Okay, see, he's got it. Yes, thank you. All right, who does it go to next? These guys?
Ben and David.
Do you each want a mic?
We can share in modeling what we're doing. So, folks, remember that what we're talking about now are the assumptions that we, the organizers of this process, share. We think that some of these assumptions that we're going to go through are readily obvious. Some of you may disagree and have a challenge. So we're going to share with you to be upfront and clear about the assumptions that we have about this process. And then there'll be, and we're back on time, actually. Just so good job to the folks who went before us, have already caught us up. There'll be still about 10 minutes to answer any clarifying questions that you have. To be clear, we're not going to be debating because these are in fact our assumptions, right? But if you don't understand one of our assumptions, Ben and I are tasked with being able to answer them. The first one, we assume and will state as fact that the United States of America is not now, nor has it ever been, a functioning democracy. I thought, hey, how about that? It's the right crowd.
We assume that the U.S. Constitution is not a human rights document. It is primarily a property rights document.
Ooh, I'm liking all the twinkles again. How about this one? The United States Constitution was used to perpetuate and to legalize attempted genocide, white supremacy and racism, male domination over women, and class rule. It took mass social movements, broad, deep, conscious, organized, and politically educated to make meaningful improvements in this country.
Any movement that wants to create a new world must create new institutions, including new legal institutions that meet people's needs without destroying the planet that we depend upon for life itself.
We believe that we must engage in electoral politics in an authentic, revolutionary manner if we are serious about winning.
And then we raise the question of the hour, do we need to revise or replace the U.S. Constitution to secure the world we want to live in?
So those are the assumptions. We were very clear amongst ourselves about what all those meant. I'm going to open up the stack if there are any clarifying questions to help better understand what our assumptions are. Again, not to debate with us about it, but if there are, so I see number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. That's enough. Remember that my trick only works if you remember your number. So number one, because I won't. Number one.
So my question is, if we don't necessarily agree with all the assumptions that we've heard, is it appropriate to debate them in our small groups or not?
The question was, is it appropriate to debate these assumptions or any of them that you may not agree with in your small groups? And I believe that the answer to that is it's absolutely appropriate to discuss the assumptions in the small groups. That's, in fact, what we'll be doing. So these are the assumptions of the organizers. We're putting them forward, and then in the small groups, you'll be able to take this up and discuss them. Does that help?
Third point, the first line,
right.
Well, I will tell you, I understand that. And I have had people who are, in fact, descendants of indigenous people who have insisted that I always use that, because if I don't use that qualify, I am literally negating their existence. So the reason that we have this is our assumption that it was not full and complete. Number three.
Number three.
Yeah. So, the last assumption is the question. So, I'm wondering if the assumption is that this is the question of how it is.
I think that that's a good interpretation, that the assumption of the last statement there, which is a question, is that this is the question of the hour. And question of the hour, do we need to revise or replace the U.S. Constitution to secure the world we want to live in? And, you know, I actually don't know. I heard somebody say right, so I said right. But I don't actually know that it's our assumption that that is the question of the hour. I think, from my understanding, is that we are posing that question for the small groups to discuss. We think it's a question of the hour. That's certainly the case.
Well, of this PMA,
we would like to make sure that everybody discusses it, yes. That's our assumption coming in. But thank you for raising that.
Number four.
Thank you.
Number five.
So, two things. When I heard David, I want
Cobb. That's an easy question. I like them that way. Absolutely yes. And as the president of Liberty Tree and a fellow with Liberty Tree, the organization that tried to hold all of this together, part of what we're going to do is go back to all of the organizers and presenters, and if they have slideshows, PowerPoint is just a type of slideshow, if they have slideshows or other narratives or video and so forth that they want, we're going to literally try to make the Democracy Convention archive a living, breathing place where organizers can actually get stuff. So, yes, and...
And also just to clarify that they will be presented in the way that they've been presented in the case of these assumptions today, not as a product of this gathering, but of the assumptions that went into the discussions here.
So I think I've gone through our stack. Those are the assumptions that we step in. I'm sorry. Yes.
I was wondering, instead of email, where's the adapter for shopping and the technology that we want to
I'm going to say that is not an appropriate, like, that's a level of conversation that I can't answer on the spur and is not part of this PMA process. So thank you for the question. Get with Ben, Datsa, me, Tamika. We can talk about that as a possibility. There is literally the current period, the economic crisis, political crisis, ecological crisis, legal crisis. That is hardwired into the entire process.
We'll be taking that up. Yes. When you say in the last paragraph, you mean what I just said a moment ago? Yeah. Just that the question had been, will these assumptions appear on the web somewhere? right? And my response was that they will, but they will be couched, they will be introduced in a way that makes clear that these are the assumptions the organizers that went into informing the PMA process here. And so just that it's not presented as a product of everybody here, but instead what it actually is, which is the assumptions that we're bringing to this discussion. Yes. And maybe, I know some people were coming in late and things happen and I get distracted sometimes, but this was stated earlier that there will be a sort of summation of the reports from the small groups, and that work will be done.
Okay. And with that, I will turn it over, now to.
Okay, so to be clear, right now we're going to turn to a couple people right near you and talk about what you just heard. These assumptions, does this make sense to you? Would you have something to add? Just kind of discuss it with the folks near you. So this is different than the small groups we're going to take out there to solve or to talk about the two remaining questions. This is just what you just heard about assumptions, how you feel about that. We'll give you about 20 minutes. Go. We're going to make it 15 because we're a little shorter on time than we thought.
Okay, so welcome, David Cobb, Mel Figueroa.
Hello.
And I'll tell you, one of the things that's going on now, this is what happens whenever you open up space. What we know is, in fact, that we've got a troll or a neo-Nazi, actually, who is on the move. There's a part of me that says, hey, Mel.
What?
We're provoking what we expected.
Well, we're a threat.
We are a threat.
Ah.
And so that being the case, what we are going to do is actually talk about these underlying assumptions.
Okay, so why don't we reiterate them for the live stream here?
All right, and what I'll do is I'll do one, then Mel can go.
Sure.
And then we can add to it. So the United States is not now, nor has it been, a functioning democratic republic. The creation myth of this country, the United States of America being what it is, we actually say that is, in fact, a creation myth. It's never actually been that thing.
Do remember that the United States was created in a slave-owning society and the slave-owning economy. A lot of people talked about the Electoral College this past election. Do you know that the Electoral College, as an institution of our quote-unquote democracy, is a function of Black people not actually being counted as people, nor white, poor white people who did not own property, not really being counted as citizens in our democracy.
And this is important. It's not that enslaved Africans were three-fifths of a person as if they had three-fifths of the rights of a person. They had zero inherent inalienable constitutional rights. They were 0% of we the people. They were only considered three-fifths of a person in order to allocate to the people who claim to own them for representation purposes. And Mel's point, as descendants of poor white folk, I'm really glad that she points this out, because my people were not considered persons with inherent inalienable rights because we did not own property. We did not own land. We were not allowed to participate.
Right. And even the notion that the U.S. is a democracy for all people or whatever, like, that was in actuality something that was fought for by every single group, literally every single group that was not property to Anglo-Saxon males since 1776 to the present day.
And that literally brings us to number two.
The U.S. Constitution is not a human rights document. It is primarily a property rights document.
And what's really important, as a lawyer, let me just underscore, the idea of human rights is that your inherent and inalienable rights, they must not only be acknowledged, but if you have a right that the state either does not protect, secure, or then you have a remedy. And so now the rights that we have are at best political rights, but we don't have human rights. In the legal framework, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights talks about things like a right to clean air, a right to clean water, a right to education and healthcare, a right to art and culture, a right to self-determination and autonomy. We actually don't have those rights.
we actually have mostly property rights. And again, if you don't own property, so facto, you don't have many rights.
That's true. And let's just look at, going into the third point on this, let's think about this in terms of what land we're standing on right now. We are standing on indigenous land. This is Dakota land, right now, Dakota Sioux land. And you know, the whole, like, if you look at, I mean, just Google, right? Google the Homestead Act, okay? And you'll see there are a lot of big posters and stuff that were literally giving away or selling Indian land to settlers coming from Europe. Not, you know, and, you know, some, there were some people of color that owned property as well, but let's just say, whose property are we talking about? Because they literally stole land from indigenous peoples in order, with the full blessing of a document, right, that was preserving property rights for a certain group of people against others.
And it's really, thank you for talking about the Homestead Act, and let's also take a moment to note that the biggest land giveaway in the United States of America actually happened when collectively federal land that was understood to be held in common by all U.S. citizens were given away to the railroad corporations, literally given away. And it was land bigger than the state of Texas when you consider all of this. And all of the value of that land and all of the right-of-ways associated with it were very profound. And this is what we mean when we talk about the fact that we know that there have been great moves forward in this country. And what we're saying, our assumptions are that it takes social movements that are broad, meaning across all sectors and races and classes and religions or spiritual viewpoints. So a very broad movement, a united front, if you will. But it also must be deep, which is to say we have to go, like, people have to care about it in a way that actually moves them. And it must be conscious.
They, like, have to sacrifice things.
You have to be willing to give up or fight for these things. And this notion of being conscious and politically educated, we want to be clear. As Mel often says, a collection of correct positions is not a strategy. What we actually have to be is conscious, educated, and coherent about what our strategy is. And the last thing, to name it, these movements have to be militant. They have to be disruptive. We can't fight only within the framework and only within the rules that the ruling elite have given us.
You've got to think about who made the rules and for what. And as Martin Luther King actually said, an unjust law is not a law at all.
And that's, again, why it's really important to understand nonviolent civil disobedience does not simply mean I don't like that law, I don't follow it. I don't like most speed limit laws, but there is not a call for me then to engage in nonviolent disobedience because I don't like the law. What we're saying is when laws are being used to perpetuate injustice, that law may be legal law, but it's not moral law. It's not ethical law, and I am not obliged to follow it. In fact, the converse is true. I am morally and ethically obligated not to follow it and to resist it.
So we're going to go into the third and, you know, all the points, but, you know, do weigh in. I do see a lot of comments on this live stream. I know there are trolls. They'll come in, you know, but, you know, we're here to engage in a discussion with you, and I'm sure that's why you're here listening to us. We don't want to just be talking heads here. So, like, you know, why don't we, engage in a discussion together? So if you have a comment or a question on anything we said, please do put it in the comments, and I'm looking at them right now. So, you know, just weigh in, and we'll have a discussion just like
I'm actually not even joking. Like, whenever trolls start to actually appear, I actually recognize that's because we're getting shit done, right? So, you know, hello, trolls! Hello! Just remember this. When you're wasting your time watching me on a computer, you're actually not out there harassing an actual human being. So at the very least, that is happening. The second thing is, like, I like to tell people all the time, thanks for helping our algorithm, because when you're writing in your troll-like comment, you're increasing the reach. So good work.
Thanks a lot. All All right, you want to do the third one?
Yes, the next one is, any movement that actually wants to create a new world must create new institutions, including new legal institutions that meet people's needs without destroying the planet.
Now, this is very interesting because, again, I want to engage with, you know, some of the institutions were created at particular times to meet particular needs. And if we actually, like, hold to the institution instead of actually looking at the realities out there and what we actually need in order to rectify a problem or to lift up somebody who hasn't been lifted up before, you know, like, we have to look at it because an institution that was created back in, like, 1927 or whatever was going on in 1927 might not work for what's happening in 2017. So, like, I'm of the mind, and so was Thomas Jefferson, and this is a lot of other folks that have been engaged in politics, is that we need to revisit our realities, you know, all the time. And if new institutions need to be created and new structures need to be created, that's what we got to do in order to actually address the problems of our moment. People in 1927 don't know what it's like in 2017, so sometimes we have to change things.
And the last core assumption, we must engage in electoral politics in an authentic, revolutionary manner if we are serious about winning. Folks that tune in to the Green News Network knows I say it all the time. You have to have a mass movement that is broad, deep, conscious, politically educated, and militant, and you have to have an electoral arm of that movement. I personally believe that that movement is that electoral arm is likely to be the Green Party. But if there are other electoral arms that are serious about structural systemic change, I'm willing to talk to adherents of that, people who are involved in that. But there's no doubt in my mind that we have to do movement work and electoral politics work. This either movement or elections is a false dichotomy. It is not either or, it's both and.
So the next point here is
30 seconds.
The question of the hour. Do we need to revise or replace the U.S. Constitution to secure the world we want to live in?
And short answer is yes, we do.
Hearing at the end of my sentence. No. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Please tune in.
Thank you all. So guess what? Whatever you talked about is fine with us, and you don't need to report about or anything. And
coming to consensus about the assumptions is not part of what we need to do here. So, yeah, don't worry. We can agree to disagree.
I strongly, everyone I've talked to, we do not have to open up the Constitution process. We are weak. That would be taken over by the far right, and that is not something we should do. And I don't want anything to do with my name associated to changing the Constitution now.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so that's fine, but actually that's not what we're doing here at all and never we're going to. We're talking about, is the Constitution good enough? And if it's not, should we change it? And how, as we're doing our work and our movement organizing, make sure that our demands are ultimately codified in the Constitution. So, and if that doesn't jive with you, then actually maybe this isn't the PMA for you. And you might want to go home early, honestly. So, I guess I'm just confused right now. You guys don't want to talk about how the Constitution could be better. That's all we're saying. That's fine. But this PMA, you're at a session where the agenda is to do some visioning around the Constitution. I'm not saying that your perspective that we don't do it right now is not fine, but that's not what we're talking about anyway. We're not talking about timing. We're talking about, do we want to vision how we could make the Constitution better? And if you don't want to vision how to make the Constitution better, then I would be confused why you're here. That's all I said. Okay. But our point is just, if we're doing work to change our society, ultimately when we codify it into the Constitution is how we ensure that it is lasting. So
We're going to keep moving on with this agenda. Right, so we got to have some structure. We have to, here's an example. So just really quick, the voting rights movement and the civil rights movement did not codify the protections that were in the Voting Rights Act into the Constitution in the 60s. And so our Supreme Court in the last few years gutted all of those voter protections because it's not in the Constitution. So our point is, as we're thinking about environmental protections, worker protections, protecting our communities, protecting our local economies, protecting all of the work that we're doing, how do we also make sure that ultimately we're going to codify it in the Constitution so it's not susceptible to the Supreme Court or Congress taking it away later? That's all we're saying. Let's just think a little bigger. That's all we're saying. And the timing of opening things up and all that is really not on the table right here. We're not worried about that. We're worried about, do we have a big enough vision as a democracy movement? Okay? So I'm sorry if I offended anyone. That's not my point. But you're going to split into groups, and that's where you're going to talk. That's not what I said. I just said if you don't want to do what the session is, then rather than trying to wrestle away the agenda of the session, you might think about if this is where you want to be. And if you, yeah. And I apologize if I offended you. I'm not asking anyone to leave. I'm just saying, when you go to a workshop and they're saying, this is what we're going to talk about, if you want to talk about something else, whether or not we should rewrite the Constitution right now, we never said we were doing that. So
I just want to say this is a convention plenary.
Yes.
And the convention included all kinds of organizing steps. One of them would be amending the Constitution. Personally, I think we need to amend it, but that was not the burden of the entire convention, and I think it was hijacking the final plenary to say the only thing we can talk about is amending the Constitution.
But that's not what we're doing. I don't understand. Go ahead.
And I just have to say, in terms of, remember the ground rules, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So we have... Wait, we have, remember the community agreements. We've had people who are yelling at Caitlin. Okay, let's please try to treat each other with respect. Let's also pay attention to power dynamics with older people yelling at younger people. And let's just recognize that we have some time here to talk to each other and to see what we learn from that process. That's all we're doing here. Nobody's being bound to anything. And it's a conversation.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
Okay. So the only thing you can talk about is not just amending the Constitution. However, this is sanctioned. This hasn't been taken over. This is what the conveners of this convention thought that we should do at the end, which is, again, how to envision, how to make sure that our movements are ultimately codified into law in the way that is the least likely to be dismantled later by any forces that don't agree with us. I'm a little unsure of David. You're next. So what we were wanted to do just right now is
we wanted to frame the conversation a little bit more broadly. We are dealing with the current moment, but we're in a larger period. And many of the sessions, probably all of them, we've talked about that larger period. It's had various names. Neoliberalism, advanced capitalism, whatever the frame has been. So we just want to make sure that when we're having these conversations, we're not just thinking about right now, this moment today or the next year, but we're thinking about the larger period in which we're living. And that period, of course, not only goes backwards, but it goes forward, right? So that's just the entirety of my comment.
So as I take over the next session, I do want to remind us, maybe there were not enough of us here at the beginning, or maybe we as conveners were not clear enough. The goal is to encourage organizations and groups to think about how to frame their work as a demand for a constitutionally recognized right. So for those of you, I've heard much conversation, for example, around single-payer health care. This is really just an effort to say, if we were serious, then in the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, there would actually be an constitutional right to health care. And so for folks who don't want to have that conversation, that's fine. But that is literally what this session is designed to do. And in terms of this current period and what is happening now, let me be clear about something. The right wing is far ahead of us in this conversation. The right wing understands that we are in a revolutionary moment because the systems are changing. Political, economic, and social institutions are changing. And to say we won't engage in the kind of tactics that they're going to engage in is to cede the field. It is actually to say they are ultimately going to win because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And if we don't actually start to have these conversations on the left, I don't think we're actually serious about winning. That's the point, because for us, this current period of the economic crisis, the political crisis, the ecological crisis, the legal crisis, to be very blunt here, friends, what we're talking about when you are talking about crises that are happening at sectors as deep and systemic as this, we are in the beginning stages of collapse. Literally, we are in collapse. And if we on the left who share or purport to share an idea around peace, justice, democracy, and ecology are not able to convene and even have a conversation, then we're doomed. And so when we say try on the process, this process was successfully used all throughout Latin American left, all throughout the global south, you know, places where they're actually winning. So I really want to push back a little bit on that. This might feel uncomfortable for you. Maybe it feels uncomfortable because we haven't collectively learned how to have participatory processes that are decentralized, that is actually geared towards winning. Those are the conversations that I actually want to have. I would invite you to have them and take your passion, including your disagreements, into the small groups where they belong. And let's have the process, have the conversation, and move forward.
Okay. Oh, actually, it's me. Sorry. I was like, that's great. Why don't we just do that? We're about to, but we did want to make sure that, so not every conference actually completely got it together to submit something. So you'll see that some of them are not there, but also it was partly because they felt as though what we had already put was sort of covering it. So in those last pages, I know there's a lot of text there, but we
movement has failed for the most part, that we have committed to a rather catastrophic level of climate change that is now inevitable, and we feel it's incumbent that we emphasize that for all of our allies that are focusing on different pieces of system change here. The reality that insecurity and instability will grow exponentially as we move forward, and that our opponents on the right wing will inevitably try to take advantage of that instability and insecurity and find scapegoats to blame, and that all of our organizing needs to be prepared for that, and that things like mass migration will be exponentially growing reality for this foreseeable future. Things like food crises and resource crises will be a growing reality that our movements need to plan around, that our organizing needs to be how we navigate the collapse towards a vision that's more in line with our future. And so that our allies, such as like the labor movement, has a plan for dealing with mass migration in a way that doesn't undermine workers' rights, because we can be sure that corporate front groups do have a plan for taking advantage of mass migration in a way that undermines workers' rights. And the same is true for any of the pieces of this big puzzle that we're all working on. So we just really wanted to emphasize that for everyone else here at this convention.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Welcome that, and that's perfect. So just to reiterate, just to make it even more explicit than it is written, that the climate movement has basically failed in that there is now irreversible climate change that is coming. which will bring about instability and insecurity, things like mass migration and food crisis. Those are inevitable. So as we're thinking about our vision and how to get there, we have to take into account that at this point, there is nothing we can do to stop that from being context that we have to operate in. There's another hand back there.
I'm not sure that this is the appropriate place or that this group can even address this issue, but let's say that the administration does bomb North Korea or Russia or tomorrow with an atomic weapons or used, or what's the other big catastrophic? But let's do say there's a big catastrophe. I'm assuming that the administration would then round up all the leadership in America, and they know who all of us are, and put us into the prisons that they have been constructing hand over fist since the big drug war. So do we have a plan for that, or is it even possible to plan for that?
Okay, so we're not answering questions, but she's naming that the threat of nuclear, I heard two things. One, nuclear threat is actually at a higher point than it has been. And that we potentially could be facing folks being rounded up in your opinion in the near future. So that should be taken into account as well. So we'll go there and then there. And again, please don't respond to anything anyone said. We're just asking you to add stuff that was missing.
So I read the one on our political present, and for the one on our political present, and I understand that these were supposed to be looking across decades, not just the immediate near past, but I think that it misses a crucial point about the moment that we're in, which is that between all of our work plus Occupy plus the Bernie Sanders campaign, that there is a genuine fire among tens of thousands or millions of Americans who, you know, fought for the Bernie campaign, and that he woke up, and I don't want to lay it all on Bernie, of course, but I think that is an opportunity that we have that wasn't discussed enough in that paragraph.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, there's some hope and some energy that has happened just in the last year and a half.
Aloha from Hawaii. I want to say that I really think that one of the things that we're trying to preserve is democracy. And democracy is neither left nor right. It is a process. And I don't like to say that characterize us as left or right. I think we are for democracy. I think we're green. We're talking about this a huge problem that we have, and at the end of the day, those two things to me are going to give us human unity. We will not be dividing ourselves by left and right or this or that. We just want full democracy where our vote is counted, where and we vote the way we are at the moment. It might have been left yesterday, but it's right today or whatever. So Neither left nor right, but forward.
Okay. I'm not going to put that up there because that doesn't seem like a current moment addition, but I think everyone heard you. And then the last one.
Yes, I'd like to emphasize what was said about the threat of nuclear war and the exorbitant spending in our military. If we have a war in the next few years, it won't matter anything about climate or the insecurity or immigrants. So it would be nice to see if we could have maybe one or two focus that we spread this group out when we leave to really initiate some action in that way. I have not heard of a federal candidate who has made peace their major focus and using the defense money. It would be great if we could support regionally this group, pick one or, you know, three or four candidates who might be able to win a federal election and have peace and as their major focus and support those people.
Okay. Those are not current moment things. Those are ideas for the future, which is what we're going to be doing in the small group. So thank you. And I hope you raise that in your group. Oh, sorry. I didn't see you. Go ahead.
I also want to add one thing on students and education and the crisis that is facing our campuses right now. Not only are students drowning in student debt, one in four students are hungry, one in five are homeless, and again, the rising costs of our education system. We are also facing threats, real threats, from fascists who are flyering white supremacist flyers, attacking people, attacking professors, and a crackdown on academic freedom on the left. I do not believe that left and right can work together. Some people on the right want to kill us. Okay? And they are killing us. Okay, so again, I want to focus on the youth. I noticed that not a lot of youth are here, and so I'm not even a youth myself, but I teach the youth, and I work very closely with youth, and so I just felt the need to stand up for them, not what y'all think that the youth should need, but what they really are asking for. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Thanks, Mal. Okay, so I added that one too. Real crisis for younger generation in terms of student debt and poverty, and there's more. Okay, so those are the hands that I saw around things that were missing. And if there's anything else that's kind of more nuanced, then you can bring that into your small group. And a reminder that we're going to vision the world what we want, really asking us to think big here and not just what's possible given the current context, because that's not what we need. And then how do we get there? So the ideas that you have for how to get there are great. You're actually ready to go for the next part. Oop, you got a mic.
Okay, so from here, we're gonna count off and break into small groups. We're going to find space outside of this room just because these chairs don't make it quite elegant to have group conversations. As you leave this room, again, if you need to use the bathroom or take a minute, you know, please do take care of yourself. Hold on one sec. There's a bathroom on the floor down here and then all the way down the hallway. Once you get into your groups, you will have facilitators that have already been set. They're ready to make sure that the conversations stay on track and that we're looking at the levels we're supposed to be. The first question you're going to answer, you have 45 minutes to discuss this and come up with some concise things to report back to the group. Each facilitator will have an agenda so you can refer back to these questions. But the first question is, drawing on our experiences and discussion over the last 5 days, what is our vision for the world we want? How would we codify this vision into rights under a new constitution and or amendments to the existing constitution? How do we engage in electoral politics? How do we engage in building the new institutions our society needs? So this is the vision part. You're going to take 45 minutes. You should have a note taker in each group. Again, not to record everything that was said, but to record the concise points that we want to bring back. After 45 minutes, we'll come around and let you know it's time to switch gears. The second question will be, what steps will we take to get there? What steps should our movements take? And what steps will we personally take? Again, another 45 minutes. Then we'll come around and let you know it's time to come back here while we'll report back and close up. Okay, so Caitlin's gonna help divide us.
Are you okay? Okay. all right. So if the facilitators could kind of come here to the front, my understanding is the facilitators are Shelly, Jason, George, Laura, Daniel, Keon, Ben, who's not in the room, and David. Yeah? And Tamika. Okay. So Tamika. Would be awesome if she could take David's spot. Thank you so much. All right. And then Ben, I don't know where he is, and I hope that he's doing this, otherwise we'll figure something out. So we're going to start here with 1, 2, 3. Remember your number. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay? You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are you in? What about you? 6. You in? 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nope. 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sitting down. 5, 6, 7, 8 in the purple. And I guess they're not in. 1. You're 1. Just remember 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's 8. And you're 1. 2, 3, 4. Actually, you're a facilitator. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I knew I was counting wrong here somewhere. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jerome has to leave early, so he'll go somewhere, but. All right. If you don't know your number, you're a facilitator. Okay, great. All right. So that's all worked out. So ones are going with Shelly. Wave your arms in the air, Shelly. Twos are going with Jason. Threes are going with Keon. Fours are going with Laura. Fives are going with Daniel. Sixes are going with Tamika. Sevens are going with Greg. And who's my eight? Eight is back here, and I didn't catch your name, but you're going with him.
Democracy is messy.
Oh, hi. I'm Mel Figueroa. I am the executive producer of the Green News Network. I was just typing out a comment for all of you to post any questions or comments that you might have. We are here modeling a breakout group of the PMA, but we also want to bring you in on the discussion as well. It's kind of an experiment, but we hope this will be a fruitful one. I am also the press director of the Stein-Baraka campaign, the Movement School for Revolutionaries, and all kinds of stuff that I'm not going to go into.
Good job. Joy?
Oh, I'm Joy Arnold from Central Kentucky, specifically Midway. The work I'm doing is with Move to Amend, and I am most inspired right now to go home and create conversation circles to involve communities, local communities where they live, in conversation.
Good evening or afternoon or whatever this is. I'm Jerome Scott from Atlanta, Georgia, originally though from Detroit, Michigan. And I work with, I'm going to mention two, not just one, the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, which is my main organization, but I'm also part of the leadership team of Move to Amend.
Tana?
I'm Tana Hartman Thorne, and I live in North Carolina, outside of Chapel Hill, in area of a red state. I am with the Citizens Climate Collaborative and the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
I am Nuri Ranagi from Ojai, California. Started U.S. Department of Peace, and we are inviting everybody to take the power in your own hand and join us. I have seen the most impressive People's Movement Assembly plenary agenda. I have never seen this kind of document coming out of Americans Unity Progressive Movement. And I am so impressed, and I love you all.
Okay, we're done. No. Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah. Is the mic picking us up okay?
Yes.
All right,
You know, if everybody speaks up, yes.
My name is Nils Paulsen. I'm from Northern California. My name is Nils Paulsen. I ran last year as a candidate in the United States House of Representatives. Obviously, I didn't win, but I was a Bernie-crat, one of the many people around the country sort of inspired by this progressive movement. And I also work with Transition US, doing local grassroots empowerment.
Thank you so much. So it's clear that we actually have a pretty broad scope, both geographically and ideologically, I noticed. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, and again, to lift up Mel, this idea of the burner moment, right? Not just the Bernie-crat who have decided to stay within the Democratic Party, but it's very clear we have to acknowledge that Bernie Sanders actually did provoke something that is an ongoing process, right? And honestly, I believe that we are in a genuine struggle to capture not only people who were inspired by that, but the half of the country that still don't even bother to vote, and at least half of the Trump voters who pulled the ballot lever for Donald Trump, not because they were voting for Donald Trump, but because they could not stand Hillary Clinton and the neoliberal agenda that's associated with it. So that is, and that's just the electoral part of it. So now, the question that is being posed, what is happening right now and why? So the organizers and framers are because we believe that there is an economic crisis, a political crisis, an ecological and climate crisis, and a legal crisis. So if you'd like to answer the question, what is happening now, thinking about these crises, just raise your hand and I'll do a stack and ask each of us if we could keep to 60 to 90 seconds. It'll be sharper conversation, it'll be better TV, and we'll be training ourselves to be disciplined revolutionaries about having hard political conversations. So what is happening right now and why? Joy, Mel. Joy.
Right now, I think we recognize that there are groups popping up all over the place, more groups than we have been accustomed to seeing. And it is incumbent upon these groups to be as open as possible, to draw in as many people interested in what their group is about, being it care of the earth, being it the political system, whatever their interest is, to make of that group not just specialists in their area, but facilitators of the democratic process, small d democratic process.
Nuri.
Okay. 122 countries voted for nuclear abolition. Nuclear ban treaty.